You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The college football experience and the college basketball experience weekend bombs edition of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com. Use that promo code SGPN. You get 30% off your first month and start making smarter bets today, people. We're also brought to you by the Hockey Gambling Podcast. It's the NHL Gambling Podcast, essentially the Hockey Gambling Podcast, the brand new YouTube page that they have. The hockey guys are giving away a hoodie to celebrate their new YouTube channel. Perfect for any street hockey that you'll be doing this winter. Register today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/HGP. Once again, that's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/HGP. And remember, as always, folks, to let it ride.
Hey, this is Derek Stevens. I'm the owner of Circa Las Vegas. You're listening to SGPN. Let it ride.
Yes, yes, woo! Welcome to the college experience. Yes, the college football experience and the college basketball experience. Weekend bombs edition. I mean, I can keep playing that song. Folks, how you doing out there in the world? Because we got a loaded slate of college hoops. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, switch from hoops to football, just like that.
Boom, boom. There we go. There we go. folks, youtube.com/thecollegeexperience. As you know, we just bounce around football, basketball. Hell, in a couple of weeks, we'll be talking college baseball. Make sure you check out the college baseball experience. But right now, you're probably wondering who the hell you're listening to. My name is Colby Swiggin, Dantabase Dan, aka Pick Dundee. That's not a pick. This is a pick.
He was raised in the land down under, where a man thinks on his feet, speaks with his fists, and lives by his wits.
When Dundee happened, he was a superstar.
Nobody knows nothing.
Somebody knows. Double the price, but no one touches Dundee.
You know, I tried to tell you about the Alabama Crimson Tide being just complete bullshit. I don't know how they got that game into overtime. All right. I tried to tell you that Texas Longhorns couldn't guard the pass, but it's okay. You got your San Diego State. You got your San Diego State against the Zags at the Kennel. Yeah. Folks, give it up for my co-host. He is live from the SGPN studios. The host of the Bottom Line Bombs podcast. They call him the man in the box, a.k.a. the bet detective, C.J. Sullivan. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. You're right. I went 0-2. Had Bama. The fact that they were only down 3 at halftime was amazing.
Unbelievable. Unfucking believable.
They absolutely got outplayed. I was shocked at how just the line of scrimmage just dominated them. Also, I think what might be a bit overrated is giving Saban 2 months to prepare, as it's like this legendary, like he's this legendary.
Schemed up people up. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, look, he's deserves a lot of accolades because he won that many championships, but he was also paying players. Like, they're, of course, I get it.
What I'm saying is with the 2 months off, what the 2 months off does, it prepares all his 5-star All Americans to get healthy and play at 100%. So then, like, with the talent, you know, where it's talent versus talent, it's not him schematicking.
I mean, my thing is, go look at when he was at, you know, schools that weren't willing to cheat, mm-hmm. and now everyone's I mean, we could start there. Like, I think he's a great coach, deserves credit, but at the same time, I thought this was his best coaching job all year. However, I mean, since NIL's gone legal, he hasn't won a championship. I would also argue that when he was at Michigan State, he wasn't necessarily setting the world on fire. At LSU in Alabama, when they were two of the 12 schools, 14 schools that I think would definitely pay under the table, he was very successful, and credit goes to him because that's what the system was at the time. But at the same time, as a society, I think we kind of overrate that run there, that, sure, that what he does. Because like I said, when he was at the smaller schools, even Toledo, he wasn't setting the world on fire.
Yeah. That being said, Michigan was the right side, but that second half, they didn't have one successful drive until the one that mattered at the end to tie the game up. Their offense did absolutely nothing.
Like, well, they missed a field goal. They missed a field goal there.
They did miss a field goal. But that offense in the second half of Michigan is what I saw versus Iowa and like versus other teams. Like they when they played a real team, their offense really wasn't that impressive. Now come Monday, they should be able to run at will.
Well, I'm saying their offense isn't, I mean, I think statistically they're in like the 60s or 70s, right? But to me, how about Milroe? I think he only had one completion over 14 yards the entire game.
Yeah, I know. It's almost like a team with a backup quarterback would have had the same exact kind of passing offense. It's almost,
I think he would have been better. Rotemaker.
Absolutely. Rotemaker been better than that.
Well, Rotemaker is actually all right. I think everyone thinks it's the third string quarterback that was in the ACC championship. Okay, if that's right, the case, yes. But Rotemaker started or came in that Louisville game 2 years ago, looked pretty damn good in that game against an 8-win Louisville team, and then played good enough at the Swamp.
Yeah, he won at the Swamp. I mean, you would think you wouldn't have transferred if they were playing in the in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Because that was a bunch of bullshit. Alabama, I thought, was clearly the most flawed. Like,
yeah, that was the Alabama we saw during the season.
That's the worst Alabama team since 2008. And right, they still, and credit to Saban, as I know I've just shit on him in a way. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, that was his best coaching job that I've ever seen out of Nick Saban.
And I like how Georgia's not going to win a damn thing, and they're clearly the best team.
Well, I would say Oregon, Georgia. Dude, I was watching that Texas game, and I'm like, Oregon would beat the shit out of Texas.
Georgia-Oregon is the national championship game we deserve.
Except Washington just beats Oregon every time they play.
I know. Yeah. And I would make Oregon 9-point favorites every time they play. They can play 10 times, and I watching them beat them 10 times, or I still make Oregon 9-point favorites.
Juke72 says Ohio State lost to Missouri. Yes, but they were on their third string quarterback too. I mean, who the fuck? I don't know what to deduce from that. Missouri had a great year and they deserve a shot in a larger playoff, but I don't know. It would have been interesting.
That game was brutal, by the way. I mean,
Devin Brown gets injured early on.
Yeah, that was brutal to watch, that one.
Now, the biggest sweat was my Iowa Tennessee under 36.5, because Tennessee, with under a minute left, decided we're still going to run down the field and try to score.
They were gunning for the end zone. Who wasn't happy about that? Was Cannell not happy? Someone really made a stance about that. They're trying to rub it in. Fuck off.
I was furious at the time.
That one I called too, because you're saying Iowa defense versus that rookie, freshman quarterback. But it just didn't matter, because I mean, anytime Iowa played any team with a pulse, that's what they looked like.
They benched. They had the audacity to bench Deacon Hill. You know what I mean?
What a perfect way for Francis Kidd to go out. Get shut out.
Shut out his final two games, right? Didn't they get shut out against Michigan?
What? Now he didn't even come close to that number, right? The 25 a game,
323. No.
I'm kind of impressed by that.
What else? And then Texas Washington happened. What'd you make of that game?
Texas Washington. I still don't understand. I mean, it was an amazing, Penix amazing. Obviously, I've been on Penix and Washington all year, but I still don't comprehend what that rule is. First of all, how Texas got the ball back.
Yeah.
I
had to sweat because of that shit. I'll be honest though. Ewers hit his over on the pass total. passing on that final two plays there, the Whittingham pass. Mm. But I'm shocked that in this day and age where player safety is supposed to be such a big and important thing,
right?
That if a player gets injured, so your best strategy if you have no timeouts is to injure the player.
Yeah,
that
try is. To injure them.
What a dumb world we live in. Like, how do you not fix that? So, okay, get him off to the sideline. Start that clock again. I got no problem stopping the clock.
But. And why isn't Washington taking a knee there? Why are they even running the fucking ball?
No, but this one makes a little more sense to me. Because someone, Patty C, tried to say this is like Mario Cristobal, and I'm like, no, it's not.
Well, it's not like Cristobal. I get it where there still would have been 15 seconds left, you know, if you take a knee and you got a punt.
Well, what happens if you run for a first down? The game's over.
Yeah, but they weren't even trying to run for a first down. What's more likely is an injury is going to happen, and you're going to give them a minute to ball. More bad can happen than good can happen.
Well, look, here, I don't know, because look, if you run the ball, you can take off 3 to 4 seconds, right?
Yeah.
Instead of taking a knee, there's going to be 3 or 4 seconds because the actual play. Then, then I also think if you do break it and get the first down, the game's over.
Right, of course. But the only thing you're worried about is punting the ball with 10 seconds ago. And you can do that quarterback. You know, I can.
Now they should have brought the backup quarterback in because, you know, I mean, backup running back in.
Now he's going to play, but I mean, he can't be healthy. Right.
Yeah. I don't panic as much as everybody else because I believe Washington can use the short passing game almost like the run game. They do all that crazy shit with their wide receiver screens and stuff. And eight, you know, tight end will drop back. You know what I mean? Like, I think they'll be all right in that capacity. So
they'll be all right. And Michigan has never faced a quarterback like Penix. No, Michigan has faced. Who's the best quarterback Michigan faced?
Tolia.
And he did pretty well, I guess.
Yeah, they almost beat him. Yeah.
I know. They almost beat him at Maryland.
I think the dome benefits the University of Washington a lot, too, with those wideouts.
Those wideouts are amazing, for sure. Yeah.
I was also on the over on Penix rushing yards. He had not ran for any yards really this season. And two critical third downs. I think he rushed for 32 yards, if memory serves me correct.
Yeah.
And two critical third downs he ran. I look for that to be more of an X factor in this game too, especially with the amount of times, you know, Michigan does go man a lot too. But that means you normally have your back to the quarterback. I look for that to happen more too. And I'll go right into this. Give me Washington in the points, sprinkle the money line.
Yeah, why not? I mean, they're only the best team from the best conference in the country. They are undefeated.
And they've played like six straight decent opponents and won them all by 3 points, I feel like.
And I trust them when the game gets tight.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. And I know Michigan pulled it out. And it was very impressive the way Michigan came back and won that. And they were obviously the force there in overtime. But I don't trust McCarthy in those tight situations there at the end. If it gets, because they, to be honest with you, they haven't had too many that to deal with this year because they've blown out so many teams.
And they kind of celebrated like they won the national championship.
Oh my God. And Penix was there. We got one more to go. Like, what are we talking about?
You know? Yeah.
Absolutely. I will give them that. It felt like a national championship media wise, just because of all the hype of Michigan and Alabama and Rose Bowl and shit. But yeah, I think they're going to be in for something with Washington. But when our offense is rolling, no one's stopping it.
Yeah. Yeah. We also have and do you have a play on the total in that game by chance? 56.5 is what I'm currently seeing.
Washington, Michigan, 56.5. Well,
yeah,
I see Washington throwing the ball. Michigan. Now, will they be able to, they might have the best offensive line in the country, Washington, right?
Yeah. At least they won the Joe Moore Award for it. So,
there you go. So I would hope that they would be able to protect Penix better than Alabama was able to.
Well, you know why Alabama couldn't is because, well, first off, Alabama's offensive line was 111th in sacks out of 132 teams. They were a weak point. This is why I argued Florida State over Bama all. I don't believe that like Alabama was. If this was an Alabama team from the past couple of years, then I would say, okay. But this was an extremely flawed version of Alabama, in my opinion. And you know, Washington not only has that, but not Gibbs. Why do I always say Jahmyr Gibbs? Jalen Milroe could not stretch the field. like you have to respect Michael Penix's deep ball, which means I think it, you know, it, not only that, he's super elusive. So like if you blitz and miss, which we saw Texas, who people thought Texas had the best defensive line in the country, better than Michigan's even coming into last week. You know, then they didn't get a sack because Penix is elusive. And when he's elusive, if you miss and you blitz, those receivers will make you pay. So it's going to be a fascinating matchup as far as styles go. I lean over, but I feel like everybody's on the over so far.
Yeah, how do you not take the over? It's just the reason why I can see the under. I mean, if Michigan controls the clock, which they will, they should control time possession. I don't see Washington be able to stop Michigan running the ball, which is a problem. Now we got a problem. I mean, that's the only problem. And when Washington does score, it'll be more of a faster pace. So I can see Michigan, of course, wanting to slow the game down. And that's 56 and a half.
We got a problem. Now we got a problem.
Now I thought Texas would run more.
Yeah, right. Even
they,
though
they could have ran the ball more. I mean, I thought they would run the ball more. Like I'm talking before they got down double digits. Yep. They should have been running the ball more, in my opinion.
I agree. Even though they didn't have their superstar, they still had Blue. They have plenty of running backs.
Yeah. It's Texas. Come on.
It's Texas. Right.
Now that game is on Monday.
Yep. That's games on Monday. And then the dumb FCS. What are they doing? Why is this Monday?
Because the TV networks own college sports. And I can't believe it either. This is the stupidest. So let me get this straight.
And there's a slot for you on Saturday.
Or you could have done Monday before the national championship. Do a lead up.
I know. Anything. You could do a lead up before the Steeler game on Saturday. Anything.
So, folks, what he's referring to is that we have the FCS National Championship, which I can't wait to watch. But at the same time, if you're not, you know, I think the average American is a college football and an NFL fan.
Sure.
But this makes sense to me. But they're probably FBS fans, but they're down to watch the FCS if they're not competing against a playoff week, essentially, because certain teams are fighting for playoff life. Like, what are they doing putting this at on Sunday at 11 a.m.? That's even funnier. 11 a.m. Pacific. That's like in the middle of the game, too. Like,
it's so crazy. It's the worst time slot possible. Imagine like that as a halftime show and playing like they're fucking like top Warner kids. Halftime at the Miami Buffalo game. We're going to have these little guys from Montana. It's Dakota State, maybe the best FCS team in history.
I mean, epic fail. Once again, the college sports, football, basketball, it doesn't matter the sport, even baseball. No. They lack leadership and organization. Mm-hmm. This is one of the first examples I would make. And look, I'm like Patty C. Even the FBS National Championship, I don't need it on a Monday. Your whole season, you play into the Saturday theme. Put the fucking game on Saturday. Yeah. All right?
Put it on Saturday. It'd be perfect. Just like an Army Navy on its own in the middle.
Yes. Yes. You
know? God.
And you could even do the lead up. Imagine that, because FCS is still D1 football. Mm-hmm. You go, hey, guess what? Both D1 national championships at noon Eastern, you can kick the FCS or whatever, noon Pacific, whatever, and lead into that. You could actually do this is why the networks are so stupid. You could do a triple header. You could have the NFL game after that, or vice versa. You could open up with the NFL game. It's terrible. Anyway, Montana's catching this line has been skyrocketing. It was 12 and a half when I did the show, just about 36 hours ago.
13 and a half now at Bet Online, 49 and a half total. That's crazy, to be honest with you. I mean, I love, obviously, South Dakota State, they say, is maybe one of the top three FCS teams in the last like 30 years.
I'm hearing multiple NFL players on that offense, and I think multiple on the defense too. So to show you how good they are, folks,
if they were an FBS team, I think they'd be top 20 ranks. I mean, they're one of the
20. No, I think you're right. They're a pretty fucking complete team. And you know, I'll put it like this. I think they could win the Big Ten West.
Yeah. Absolutely. That being said, I like Montana plus the points. I mean, that's a lot of points. I mean, yeah. I think that's a little swollen up, that line, for sure.
I completely agree. And the fact that this game's not in Brookings, this is in, Frisco, Texas. Mm-hmm. Now, and ever since Montana went to Clifton McDowell, the dual threat quarterback, you know, out the gate, Montana was a very suspect the first four or five games.
Yeah.
If you listen to the FCS College Football Experience, which I host, like, we kind of were giving Montana shit the first 5 weeks as a you know, kind of a shitty team that didn't deserve to be ranked where they were. Mm-hmm. Then they made that quarterback change, and the team kind of got behind McDowell. And from there on out, they've won everything. And there were some close calls. There's some crazy games. Another thing is their special teams has been incredible during this playoff run. I want to say they have three kick returns or punt returns combined for a touchdown.
Save their bacon versus the one playoff game. Was it Nova? Who did they play when he brought that kick? They brought two kickoffs, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I want to say it was Furman.
Furman.
They had two returns for a touchdown in the Furman game.
Mm-hmm. We're late 17.
But the North Dakota State game, punt return for a touchdown at a critical play to give them the lead. So that's another X factor. But Bobby Hawk is no stranger to, you know, success in the FCS. His first tenure at Montana before he took the UNLV job, he took Montana to three national championships. Never got the win, so this could be his. He's got that chip on his shoulder too, which I think is great extra added motivation. The game's on ABC. The total's at 49.5. I'm all over Montana plus 13.5. I do think South Dakota State's probably going to win the game, but I think it's still worth
taking
that sprinkle on that plus 400 just because everyone's been talking South Dakota State all year. And here's another thing. Montana handled Montana State. Montana State almost beat South Dakota State. They basically passed for a game-winning touchdown.
Incredible.
Back in week two or three, where on replay, he stepped out of bounds before he caught the ball, which negated Montana State's win. But that was a close game. And I think that's what that's a good indicator for Montana being able to keep it close with the Jackrabbits, I think.
Yep. Now, also, we got a little maybe tragic magic for letting Coach Don Reed passed away.
I saw that. Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace right there. Maybe if we can get a little, maybe he did it for the program. You know, give him a little extra.
I would do it. Look, you're at the end of the line anyway. You know what I mean? So you're telling me we're getting 13.5. The line keeps going up. Coach, we got tragic magic. We got the Bobby Hawk chip on his shoulder. Never won a national championship. What could go wrong? What could go wrong here?
And they've been in tight ones. And if the game gets tight, you know, I mean, obviously the overtime game was awesome last week. It was like a 2 months ago, it seems like. Another ridiculous thing with this FCS.
Well, both. FBS, too.
FBS. Yeah. I mean, I barely remember that, but that was with the game of the year, that ND State game, you know, the overtime game. And you know, they take off, and now where are they playing this game at again?
Frisco, Texas.
All right.
ABC is the network. The total's at 49.5. I actually think... Wait, I think it's going to be nice weather, though. Part of my handicap earlier in the week was it was looking like it was going to be cold. I'm seeing like 59.
Yeah.
That maybe you do play the over. I was thinking under originally. What do you think about this total?
You're thinking under?
Originally, but I thought it was going to be a lot colder.
Right.
I've seen these games like Montana, JMU played. I'm sorry. North Dakota State, JMU played here a couple of years ago, and it was like snowing. So it was like that normally factored into the handicap here, but 59 degrees, maybe you get a little more offense than we think.
Absolutely. Well, the only game they looked bad, they were tight, and was that Villanova game when it was the bad weather and they couldn't the wind and all that. And they took, what was it, a blocked punt that That was the only reason. That would have been the most shocking upset. The other times they've been absolutely dominant. I mean, they destroyed my Albany.
My Albany too.
Yeah, our Albany. All right, our Albany Danes 59-0. Mercer before that 41-0. I kind of lean over in this game. I just think it's with the warm weather. I certainly like Montana to score some points. So that's all they're going to take. If they get 14-20 points on the board, it's going to go over.
Yeah. I think you might be right now. I'm switching my pick.
Yeah.
I'm switching my fucking under pick. I'm going now. I got something for that.
Well, I don't get diabetes and cold,
but they're counting down 7, 6, 5.
Because there, really,
there's
I think, by the way, tide turning. I see, as I remember, I was raised in the desert, but tides kind of turn. It's easy to see a tide turn.
What
did I say those words?
Did I say those words? What did you say about Lou Holtz?
There was great, like, Lou Holtz memes online after Ohio State lost, as they pointed out, into Missouri in the bowl game. They're like, Lou Holtz now is like celebrating the Ohio State to Ryan Day. It was all videos of like old men dancing. They're all pretty great. None of them were unfunny, I'll say that.
Yeah, that's classic material right there with the way Day said, we're a physical football team.
Why would Lou Holtz say that about our team? Where's Lou Holtz at? Lou Holtz is watching fucking Jeopardy. What are you talking about?
He's watching Jeopardy. He doesn't even know he's watching Jeopardy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Lou Holtz at? Why would he say that about our team? We're so physical.
Folks, we're going to talk a little college hoops before we get to the, you know.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
The pretty fire weekend in college hoops we got upon us.
Yeah.
But before we do that, I want to tell you folks out there that the college experience is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Yes, Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. They got NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, and college football. Simply pick higher or lower in your favorite players' fantasy stats and cash in, people. So what are you doing? Watch along, make picks, and make some extra cash on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. When you sign up with the promo code TCESGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. Once again, that's Underdog Fantasy promo code TCESGPN. We're also brought to you by the Hockey Gambling Podcast hoodie. Look, it's the winter. You're out there playing slap shot with your pals. You know what I mean? You're on your street hockey. You know, prison rules, all that good stuff. Get yourself a nice hockey gambling podcast hoodie. Because you get checked and you're wearing that thing. We used to play street hockey and you get checked in like a car, a parked car, right? Well, if you're wearing this nice brand new hoodie, A, you're going to look good getting checked into the car, but also B, it's going to help protect your bones from hitting that old Honda Accord there. So
bounce,
what
right
are you
off
doing? Yeah, bounce right off, man. Put that on top of your other shitty sweatshirt you've been wearing for years. Old Linda might be interested in you. So folks, what are you doing? Check out the Hockey Gambling Podcast and their new YouTube channel. They're giving away a hoodie. What are you doing? SportsGamblingPodcast.com/HGP. That's SportsGamblingPodcast.com/HGP. All right. We are back on the college experience weekend bombs. And look, we got Friday, Saturday, Sunday college hoops. You were hot the other night when the Aztecs went up into that fucking kennel and pissed on the faces of all those loyal Gonzaga Bulldog fans.
San Diego State not getting respect anymore, but yeah, they pissed all over the Zags.
They did. And now, so look, Friday, I know Saturday is the unbelievable card for college hoops, but Friday, there's a couple ones out there I want to ask you about.
All right.
You know, these UConn Huskies, you know, Donovan Clingan, their big man is out for, I think, 2 weeks. They said,
right
now they got to hit the road to go to a legendary place. Great. I highly recommend, if you haven't been to the stadium, to check out Hinkle Fieldhouse, where the movie Hoosiers was shot. It was also where the actual game that Hoosiers was based on took place. That is Butler's home stadium there in Indianapolis, Indiana.
This game's on Fox Sports 1 tomorrow night. I personally think we might have a live one, as I'm seeing UConn lay at 5, we think.
I got it 6.5.
Oh, wow. Wow. See, because no, I was pulling that up.
No money line yet, but I see 6.5 from Bet Online.
We have to take Butler.
You're right. The big man is out, 7'4", clinging. Yeah, you got to take Butler here. It'll be, the place will be lit. Now, UConn does, I mean, it's good that this is happening to them now, you know, with Klingon out. They can navigate through this because they have a couple games in a row here that are handleable. The Butler, Xavier, and I think Georgetown are coming up. So if they go 2-1, 1-2 during that, then get them back, they'll be okay. I mean, they'll be okay anyway, but I'm with you on this one. I think that first game, I like Butler.
I think we got a live dog at Hinkle there. Let's go. This is like a decent sized pointer. You know what I mean? There we go. Wanted to ask you also, Illinois basketball keeps winning despite rape charges. They head to West Lafayette to take on Purdue, who
were you crossing or you replicating the duck? Illinois rape charges.
Purdue.
Yes.
Is 13-1. They're the number one team in the nation. They're at home.
Yeah.
You got a line on this over there at Bet Online?
I'm looking at 10.5.
I think we lay it because I think it all comes crashing down for the Illini here. I've been impressed that since that news broke and Terrence Shannon was arrested, essentially, they beat the piss out of Fairleigh Dickinson. And then they drilled a Northwestern team that a lot of people have in the NCAA tournament this year. Yeah. So they've been weathering the storm. Can they go into one of the better college basketball environments there at the Mackey Arena and get the dub? I don't think so. I think we lay the big number. I think it all comes crumbling down here against this Purdue team that I will fade in March yet again. What are you doing here?
Yeah, Purdue's on a mission this year, though. I mean, they've already got huge wins in the bank with Gonzaga, Tennessee, but even recently, Arizona, Maryland, Alabama, all away from the hometown. You're taking them home. I mean, Yeah, I think Illinois is in trouble Friday night.
Yeah. So, I mean, we got our yapper. We got our favorite for Friday. Let's jump into the Saturday slate. Unless you have anything else on the Friday slate you want to talk
about. Friday night slate, as far as a little ankle grabber dog, when you come in, kind of grips on your jeans a little bit, like, hey, what, like that? Don't mind him. He's just sniffing you out. But meanwhile, he's biting out your goddamn socks and your shoes. Late night Friday night. I like San Jose State.
I like it.
Yeah.
Tim Miles doing a great job with that program. Probably should have beat Wyoming the other night in Laramie.
Absolutely. They should have. So they're picking up 5 at home versus Boise.
I like it. I also want to throw out that Bowling Green getting 9.5.
Ooh, that's a nice sized dog right there.
I do think Akron's the best team in the MAC, but I think it's a little bit too many points, and it's a rivalry game. So
that is a lot of points to gobble up. That's definitely the right side. It's already down to 9. That's so much on the right side, it's already down to 9.
There we go. Saturday slate is unbelievable, man. It's by far, if you follow college hoops, it is the best Saturday of the season thus far. And I think you might even be able to have an argument that it might be the best Saturday all the way until late February.
Wow.
A lot of it's kind of like separation Saturday, in my opinion. Like, you have a lot of teams that are 12-2, 11-3, 13-1, all doing battle against one another. And I think the big one out the gate is Kentucky,
Florida,
heading to Gainesville, take on Todd Golden and those Gators. I'm not buying into this Gator stuff yet. Todd Golden, they're looking the part this year, but they haven't really beat great teams yet.
Okay,
I know you could argue, is Kentucky truly a great team because they're young? John Calipari lost a ton of production from a year ago, but I think this Kentucky team is better than last year's Kentucky team Oscar Tshiebwe really was not a great defender.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like the locker room was all over the place in that on that team last year, and that's why they didn't do anything. I do think Kentucky's the better team here, and I know this place will be lit, but I think I'm going to ride Kentucky until Florida proves to me. I know Florida used to be really good, Billy Donovan, all that stuff, but they need to prove to me that they're back. What are you doing here?
Well, I agree with you with Kentucky being better this year, talent wise. I like what they're doing. They are very young. My only problem with this is they haven't played a road game. They haven't played a real road game yet. They had one was at Louisville, but come on. First part, half the house is Kentucky fans.
Yeah, Papa John had switched. He's no longer wearing his Louisville clothes. He's wearing that big blue nation. Yeah.
So a young team, SEC opener on the road in the, you know, in the swamp down there. You're right. Florida might not be as overrated. The look ahead line is what? -2.5. The Gators will be laying.
Yeah.
It'll be a growing experience for Kentucky no matter what. Calipari, I'm sure, is, you know, happy this game's going to happen. I can't back Kentucky on this just because it's their very first true road test of the year.
Yeah. Okay. But
that doesn't mean I want Florida, though. At the same time, because I kind of agree with you that they're a little overrated. I think Kentucky, I mean, not for nothing, should beat them. But yeah, it's a tough spot for your first road game. It's a tough spot.
Let's stay in the SEC.
Okay.
I think we got a decent size, chocolate lab.
All right.
In Chesapeake Lab, I guess they call that. In Fayetteville.
Mm,
okay. Auburn is coming into Bruce Pearl. Yes, they've looked great this season for the most part.
They have.
But they lost their only other road game, which was at App State. Auburn laying 6.5, 7 in Fayetteville. I actually think this line will probably drop a little more to like 5.5 or something, but still, you know, Arkansas Musselman struggles in November. They start to look a little bit better, but they're still struggling in December because they get all those portal guys. By the time conference play comes around, I feel like the team's a lot better. This stadium is going to burn down. I don't care. they don't have anything out. Like, come on. This is, I think, one of the biggest home court advantages. And you're going to make them a dog against the number a top 10 or top 25 team in the country. I'm all over Arkansas money line. What are you doing here?
Wow. Sorry. We might be jumping ahead with this Arkansas team. You're right. They do get better as the season goes along. And it is, but it's January. It's time to crank it up. And I do like this. And I do like this Auburn team. They're one of the best shot blocking teams. They have a good offensive KenPom rating. I don't know how you are with the KenPom ratings. You think it's a fraud?
hey, he's a Virginia Tech graduate, just like Real Money Kramer. He can't be trusted. But
they got a deep squad. But yeah, I think you're right. I think this is kind of an Irish setter waiting to get bit down there, because you know how Pearl's teams, they're deep, but they're not exactly top heavy. So I'd like Auburn later on in the season, but I think Arkansas can get them here.
Yeah. I think there's a couple other big time SEC games, but that's the dog that I love. And there's a few dogs that I like a lot, but Alabama is heading to Nashville to take on Vanderbilt. 5-8 Vanderbilt, Jerry Stackhouse. Now, last time they played, Alabama almost won by 60. I think it was like a 57 point win back last January. Vanderbilt, I believe they extended Jerry Stackhouse's contract last year after they almost made the NCAA tournament, but whew, it has been tough times in Nashville as they have, they lost to Presbyterian, the Blue Hose. They lost to it was Western Carolina, I think it got them. Now they did just play well at Memphis, almost won at Memphis, and then they drilled fucking Dartmouth. But any chance you're taking a flyer on the Commodores against.
Depends on what you mean by flyer. Do they think I can get the get this out right? Who knows? I mean, wait. No, the answer is no. But Alabama, their offense is still the Alabama's offense, but that defense is so terrible. I mean, it can happen. They've been bad. They lost 500. They gave up. Let's see. They gave up 85 points in about five losses in a row. They had. Is that what they had before the season started? Five losses in a row. They gave up 85 points to each of the five opponents. I mean, yeah, I do not like this Alabama team at all. But I mean, am I going to back up versus Vandy? What's the look ahead line there?
20 points.
I'll take that 20 points of Vanderbilt for sure. I mean, with that kind of defense, I'm not laying 20 against anything, especially on the road.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you got to take the points there, but it wouldn't shock me.
A little revenge angle with the Commodores. That'd be a huge Irish setter right there. If he could. that'd be a Marmaduke.
Have you ever seen a game at this stadium?
Like Vanderbilt?
Like their stands are like below
the elevated court, whatever like that. The ACL.
It drives me absolutely crazy.
Yeah,
it drives me absolutely crazy why anyone would want to go support that. But and then there's another one, undefeated Chris Beard and Ole Miss heading into Knoxville.
Mm.
Rick Barnes always fire in the regular season. I feel like
right.
It's a big number. I'm thinking 12, 11 and somewhere around there.
I'm trying to find it here.
Yeah, I think it's going to be double digits. If I had to guess, just because it's the suspected line at the moment is where the hell is this game?
You can't find it.
Did they take it off the board right now? I saw it earlier. Here it is. It's 12. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
12 points. I'm actually going to take Ole Miss, but I don't think they're going to win that thing on the money line, but I just think it's a little, both teams are great defensively. Mm-hmm. I could see it being a little rock fight.
I love that. This is one of my favorite dogs. I love Tennessee in this game. I mean, I don't think Ole Miss has played anybody. Yeah, so far. And I think there's like, and it's not, I mean, yes, they've been impressive, obviously. They're undefeated. There's nothing you can say about that. But they're going to get woken up, I think, in this game. Like you said, it's going to be a rock fight. It's going to be shakedown. We'll see what happens. I'll definitely sprinkle some on the money line on this Tennessee, and I'll gobble those 12 points, no problem.
Yeah, yeah. Look, there's a couple others I want to talk about, folks, but before I do that, I want to tell you that the College Basketball Experience and College Football Experience are brought to you by Game Time. Buying tickets to your favorite event shouldn't be that stressful. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater that is near you, with killer deals on last minute tickets and their best price guarantee. You could stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hype for the fun you'll be having at that very event. So what are you doing, folks? Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use that promo code CFBX for $20 off your first purchase. Once again, terms apply. Create that account, redeeming code CFBX for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com. Use that promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching. Start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. We're back. And we have some, I mean, there is also a Mississippi State, South Carolina game going on in the SEC, but it's a short line.
Back that Ole Miss comment I made up, not made up that I said, someone put this in the comment. And your boy KenPom. Ole Miss is not, according to KenPom, their non-conference schedule, and they haven't started conference yet, is ranked 274th. And now they're going to lead up in Knoxville. We got a problem, baby.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that seems.
That's a joke.
Yeah, I got.
The fuck is that?
Yeah. curious. The Saturday card still has a bunch of other ones. There's another dog that I absolutely love.
It's here.
And it's in Bloomington, Indiana. Honoring Bobby Knight's life.
Honoring Bobby Knight's life for the 19th time. Well, you know what? They're playing Ohio State, obviously, your Buckeyes. And then
he played there. He played there back in the day. He's an Ohio guy.
Yeah, maybe that's why they're using this as another Bobby Knight tribute.
Every time, every game, every home game. Now that's the thing. Buckeyes are laying 5.5. Man, the Buckeyes have been living on the edge, man. They should have lost to West Virginia in Cleveland about a week ago. And then they almost got, they barely got by the Scarlet Knights of Rutgers the other night.
Yep.
I think them coming into Assembly Hall. No. I know Indiana has been injured, you know, had some injuries. I think Xavier Johnson's back. I don't care if they got guys out or not. This is a lit environment. Indiana's winning this thing on the money line.
I love it. I love Indiana here. I have nothing but to back you up with all of your statements there. I do not have any faith in this Ohio State team. And you go on the road on true test there. It's true test in a lit Bloomington on Bobby. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Light up those chairs, toss them in the court. And I like them outright. I don't even want these points.
Yeah. Just get out of here. Play that money line. I'm going to ask you about a couple others. I'm just going to rattle off some and tell me if you think you got potential dog barking. Villanova hosting Rick Pitino.
Wow. Yeah, go ahead.
4.5. Villanova minus 4.5.
They're coming off at that tight win, Villanova. They held on. It was impressive. 1-point winner there. But Nova's bounced back. You know, they went from they have some of the best wins and some of the worst losses.
Yes. Yeah. You know? Any Philadelphia school or Pennsylvania school they lost to.
So that's my answer to that question. Is St. John's from Philadelphia? Yes, no, and no. Give me Nova.
Okay. What about the likes of, say, Texas Tech going into Austin, Texas for the last time of the foreseeable future? They are getting 4.5, maybe 4. So the Longhorns are a home favorite. Any chance that them boys in Lubbock come into Austin, Texas with Matthew McConaughey in town?
McConaughey, yeah, still lingering around. The whereabouts, he's on the bench. He's on the field. He's a Texas Waldo out there. Yeah, no, I definitely think Texas is ripe for an upset here. Like you were saying, the last of the rivalries going in there. I'm not too impressed with them, so I don't know. I wouldn't mind taking. I can see Texas Tech taking this down.
Marquette is in Newark taking on Seton Hall. Seton Hall just had a gigantic win at the Dunk in Providence, Rhode Island against the Friars.
Yep.
This line I am currently seeing, where the hell is this? I'm drawing a blank on it right now, but I believe it was. So Marquette minus 6.5 on the road in Newark. What do you think?
There it is. 6.5 in Newark. You're right. It's a letdown spot, but this is a classic Saturday. It was classic Saturday morning games up in North Jersey. That's They're trouble. So even though it is a letdown spot, I'll take the points with Seton Hall.
I just think they just won though. They just won.
Yeah. It's one of those things that can be over with before you even wake up on Saturday morning for sure.
I'm backing off this one, but I see a couple of, like, you know who plays Kansas really well every year? TCU, Jamie Dixon, for some reason, something he does fucks with Kansas. I feel like they're 2-3 in their last five, but their three losses are all by like 2 points, 4 points, 6 points. TCU is going to be getting, I actually think this line is going to be more like 9. I'm seeing 7.5 right now. I think it's going to be 9 because of going into the Fog, one of the toughest places in the country to win. I don't know about a money line play, but I think they can cover the 9. How about you?
The 9. Well, it's a match. Like if you check, he does have a history with them. I mean, obviously on paper, it should be, it's a mismatch, Kansas against TCU. as far as they don't get into the heart of the Big 12 conference until a little while. They don't play Houston and Baylor until February, I believe, or BYU. So they have, I know they go to UCF on this week as well. I don't know. I see Kansas being ready for that.
That's fine. I'm gonna rattle off. Let me know if any of these are appealing to you. Utah getting 8.5 in Tucson against Arizona. Arizona's lost the other night, but they also get the Buffs tonight, so they might get back on the winning side of things just before the Utes play them. There's also North Carolina, Clemson, huge game in the ACC. Clemson's laying 3.5. Cincinnati's had a great start to the season. They head to the Super Soaker to take on BYU, who looks really good as well. BYU's laying 11. Any chance the Bearcats would be one of your plays? I'm not sure, but I lean BYU minus the points in that one. You?
Yeah, I like BYU for sure there. Just to rattle off all the ones you went, but North Carolina's playing great ball right now. Arizona, they just had a rough holiday. Like a bunch of us, they took the holidays off, you know? So I can see them getting back to work now that it's come January. I mean, that was a bad New Year's Eve loss to Stanford.
That was a really bad New Year's Eve loss to Stanford. I'm trying to think. Baylor's laying 4 in Stillwater. There's Rutgers catching 5.5 in Iowa City against the Hawkeyes. Here's a dangerous one. Colorado at Arizona State in Tempe. Buffs are laying 7.5 points. But Arizona State is a strange team, man. When they're hot, they could beat anybody. They could also lose to anybody.
Yeah.
That's one as a Colorado. I follow Colorado's program a little closer than most. They never do well when they're a heavy favorite, in my opinion. So
and on the road, they're much different. Obviously, they have a huge home court advantage there in Colorado. But when they get away, games can get away from them.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is that line they're laying?
7.5 they're laying. Money line play. And Bobby, the only problem is I hate betting on Bobby Hurley.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
I know he's a Jersey guy. I know you're good friends with him, but
they're the Jersey Harbaughs, the Hurleys.
Another interesting one is Nebraska at Wisconsin. The amount of white people on the court will be astonishing.
Alarming.
Actually,
yeah, that'll be alarming. This is a Children of the Corn matchup.
but Fred Hoiberg, the mayor's got Nebraska playing good ball. They just took down the Indiana Hoosiers and the Michigan Love State mayor. Spartans.
Yep.
They're catching 7. They're catching 7 in Madison. I don't know.
I don't know. I like that Wisconsin team. They just came off a big win versus Iowa. And I wouldn't mind taking those points. I mean, it's tough to go to Madison and play there for sure.
Do they do the jump around for basketball too?
No, they don't, but they they give the middle finger to those sick kids, but that's Iowa that does the sick kids. I don't know. I see you're leading Nebraska this one. Hoiberg, you like Hoiberg going in there? They got, you know, they got the white power to bring it in. You got to fight white on white, you know?
Yeah. How about UNLV catching 11 in San Diego, taking on San Diego State?
I was just saying beforehand, San Diego State's not getting respect. First, they were getting too much respect. Then they were getting no respect. Now they might be pushing it back. That seems like a lot for a team. It's not the same team that went to the championship game last year by any means. Defensively at least. And I'll take the points with that.
I think I like the points too. Duke is in South Bend. We saw Notre Dame knock off Virginia and Tony Bennett 2 games ago. Duke's laying 8.5, 9 in South Bend. No one will be at this game. Cause you alluded to this. It's still school's not back in session. I don't know who the Duke fans will probably be at this game, right?
Right.
I feel like Chicago's not that far away.
So what is this? This is Virginia at Duke?
No. Duke at Notre Dame.
Duke at Notre Dame. All right. I thought you said Virginia before. Duke at Notre Dame. You're right. No one will be there in the private school. Just the Olive Garden will be open on that strip there, that fake college football.
Not even Legend Sports Bar will be open. It's right there on campus.
Line around the block on game day.
I can't fucking take this Notre Dame team's not there yet, even though they beat Virginia. That's why you heard me say Virginia, by the way.
Yeah, I was just going to say, well, Virginia's not good this year.
Yeah, they're struggling.
I mean, Virginia right now. They lost with 24 to Wisconsin, 23 to Memphis.
Wait, hold on. We have a Virginia's catching two at NC State. We got a yapper. Give me the Wahoos to get. Look, NC State, those pieces of shit. Look, Virginia is going to go into Raleigh. Yeah. Right at their little whatever the fuck they call that city. I forget the name of it. That's one that's gonna hit. That's gonna hit. Tony Bennett.
Know. I mean, this is one of his worst offensive teams he's had in about 15 years, though, it seems like. They did beat who they beat? They beat Florida and Texas A&M.
Yeah. Yeah. Got both. Those two solid wins. They could beat NC State sucks. All right. Fucking losers. They're just a bunch of losers.
You're right, but I don't know. That loss to Notre Dame was just more Virginia, I thought, than even Notre Dame. It was just a hideous effort they put up with it. Disgusting. All right, but I'll take it. Why not? A little yapper. Go ahead. Get him.
How about undefeated James Madison, who does play tonight, by the way, but at the moment they're undefeated. Going into Hattiesburg, Southern Mississippi. They got that Brett Favre blood money. All right. Yep. They got Clarence Weatherspoon's jersey up in the rafters. What, 13 points, JMU? That could be a live dog. That could be a live dog on the money line there in Hattiesburg.
Tough little Sun Belt test down out there. Now, of course, they won at Sparty. You got to respect that. But other than that, they haven't done anything overall besides being undefeated. Really impressive. yeah, I can see him flip it up. You know, I mean, it's bound to happen. You know,
little two step trap in Hattiesburg.
I like that.
I know you're a Pitt Panther fan. They're laying 9.5 at Louisville.
I mean, well,
what do you any want chance? Any chance you're buying some Louisville stock?
Put that Louisville horse out the pasture. Shoot him right in the head. And just put blue all over that court. I mean, I can't take any more Louisville games.
All right. Look, we're about to go. But Sunday, there's a couple matchups.
All right.
You got SMU looking really good this year. They're at Memphis, taking on Penny Hardaway. Memphis is laying 3, 2.5, something like that. We might have a live pony, dare I say, in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah, are we to take Memphis would be the favorite then, right? They'd be the small favorite.
Yeah. Memphis would be favored by 3, I think, maybe 3.5.
Seems like that's a small number there for sure. The way Memphis is playing. I like Memphis. I like this Memphis team.
Okay. You're on the favorite there. Michigan at Penn State. That line I'm seeing kind of had a push right now. So I don't know if that would be a dog. How about Michigan State at Northwestern? Tom Izzo and Sparty laying 4, 3.5, something like that. In Evanston.
Yeah. Now we're talking. I can get behind Northwestern.
Yeah. Yeah, especially with them coming off that bad loss to Illinois, get right spot for the Wildcats. Okay, well, I mean, we got that. Maryland's at Minnesota. Minnesota's laying 6 at home against Maryland. I think the Terps are live to win that thing. That's it. That's it right there. Jump on that one.
I love it. Maryland.
Also, Frank Martin and UMass are looking pretty fucking good this year. They're traveling to Dayton, Ohio, where they're getting 8, 8.5 against.
You buried my Dukes.
Yeah, they put your and Duquesne's looking good this year, man. They're looking good.
They brought it, but UMass brought the pain to Duquesne. That's for sure. So I like this UMass team. What do you say they're picking up 8 at Dayton? Oh, give me all of that.
Yeah, let's go on that. Ready
for this UMass squad.
Yeah. Frank Martin. I mean, he took South Carolina to the Final Four. He'd take K-State to like an Elite Eight or something.
Yeah, we got Padilla and Travieso back there in the backcourt.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, fucking Lou Rowe.
Yeah, sweet Lou Rowe, Mark Jackson. He was on Temple. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. They're all from the big five. Philly's high school squad.
Maryland's going to do Maryland's live against Minnesota too.
I like that Terps game.
Yeah, let's go. And then of course, East Carolina's favored by 2.5 at home against Tulsa. Lay the fucking points with the greatest team in all the land, the East Carolina Pirates. All right, that's our show. A couple questions I want to ask you.
All right, let's do it.
Jim Harbaugh, after Monday, is he going to the NFL?
Absolutely. He will be, he won't even be there to celebrate. No, he's not going. I mean,
who's he the next coach of?
Well, he's like Pete Carroll. I like him going to the Chargers. Used to quarterback at the Chargers too for a couple of years. He's kind of like a Pete Carroll situation. He can't deal with this. He burns every place he goes downtown. He wears out his welcome. It's what he does, you know? And like, even though he's a god there, I mean, it's going to catch up to him. And he doesn't need to put up with this NCAA shit. He needs to get out of there before the hammer really comes down on him, which it is. It's going to come if he comes back. So he'll probably win a national championship and then he'll be going to the Chargers. And then we got to deal with his fucking family even some more.
The UFL was announced. Mm-hmm. Apparently there was a merger, even though when I look out there, I see 8 teams. It's not the USFL. It's not the XFL. It's the UFL, which I thought we had like 15 years ago with Marty Schottenheimer, but 8 teams. Level of excitement for the UFL for the Bet Detective 1 to 10 on the upcoming UFL kicking off, what, March 30th, I thought I saw?
Yeah, so what is it? It's 4 XFL and 4 USFL?
I think it's 5 XFL, 3 USFL.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't know. It's a solid 4.5 from what I've said.
Have you? Okay. And
I don't mind the merger, but I don't like the way they're merging, you know?
I thought that why merge if you already have 8 teams? It's not like the XFL teams had value.
No,
it's like you had 8 teams. You could have just kept playing that. Instead, mm-hmm. you merge and add a bunch of teams that don't have any value because they've only existed for fucking 1 year. All right, maybe the fucking Battlehawks have value because they sell it out. I don't know, but either way, it's not much value. Doesn't make any fucking sense to me. I'm gonna watch it as football, but I'm bummed. I'm bummed. I thought the USFL previously is better than what they currently have. And same with the XFL.
Yep.
But I don't know. Anyway, folks, that's our show. Subscribe to the College Football Experience and College Basketball Experience podcast. And I will be back talking FCS college football at the top of the hour on the FCS College Football Experience as we break down the national championship. And yeah, make sure you give CJ Sullivan a follow on Twitter at CJ Sullivan _. Check out the Bottom Line Bombs podcast. CJ, I know you just recorded.
Just recorded, finished up week 18 contest. Make sure you subscribe to the Bottom Line Bombs with CJ Sullivan stream on its own. It comes out on the NFL page and the main ship page, but after the football season, it won't be on the NFL page anymore, but the Bottom Line Bombs continues. It has its own feed. So make sure you subscribe to the Bottom Line Bombs with CJ Sullivan, the man in the box. You catch it twice a week live here on SGPN.
Boom, right there. Folks, I'm on Twitter at TheColbyD. Give us a follow. The College Basketball Experience and College Football Experience is on Twitter at TCE on SGPN. Also, subscribe on YouTube, youtube.com/TheCollegeExperience. Like I said, back with the FCS College Football Experience in about an hour. Also, the College Basketball Experience live every single night of the season. Tonight, we're back talking college hoops. And check out the Sports Gambling Podcast. Check out the Bottom Line Bombs. Until next time, folks, this is the College Experience. You better start thinking about yours. And we out of here. Run and shoot.